Good evening. You would like to be part of a church that grows. The pastors would like to pastor a church that is growing. But how does a church grow? Tonight, I want to meditate on some of the inner workings of how Christ grows his church. And we're going to look at that through Ephesians chapter 4, verses 14 and 15. And you can find that on page 978. Now, our bodies have 78 organs. And they all belong to one of 10 different bodily systems. And these bodily systems are interconnected and they're dependent on one another. And they're dependent on one another to function and to function properly. So, for instance, your skeletal system, your bones, rely on the nutrients it gains from your digestive system in order to build strong and healthy bones. Your bones and your muscles work together to support and to move your body. They also protect your respiratory system, which takes in oxygen, and that oxygen is dispensed throughout your body. And it's dispensed throughout your body through the circulatory system, which begins with your heart, and it pumps blood throughout the rest of your body. And your own heart does not beat, not once, unless your brain and your nervous system tell it to do so. And there's more. Each one of your bodily systems and each part within those systems relies on the others for your body to work well. And some of you have experienced when one of those systems or one of those parts have not worked well. Disease or issues in one system can disrupt the stability and cause trouble in other bodily systems. Well, the same is true for the body of Christ. Christ is the head, and Christ gives life to his church, and his church is his body. And each member and their requisite ministries are the body parts. And Christ has designed it so that every person within the church is dependent on the other. When every member part is working together, the body of Christ has stability and it's able to function as it is designed. And Christ gives and grows his church by supplying every part that it needs and then causes them to work together properly. And that's what we see in Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 15. Read with me. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Christ grows his church by commissioning every member to contribute to the health of the whole. And every member must contribute by, number one, speaking the truth in love, and number two, by each part working properly. And that will be my 2 points for this evening. And my prayer is that you will be energized to pursue the growth of our church by helping other members grow. So let's look firstly at point number one. We contribute to the growth of our body by, one, speaking the truth in love. Look at verse 15 again. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. Now, this verse begins with a contrast. It begins with the word rather. Verse 15, then, is to be understood in opposition to verse 14. And verse 14 reads, "So that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried out by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes." You know, waves that barely reach my knees are hardly any threat to me, and they hardly have any effect on a mature adult man. But those same waves that are hardly any threat to me can overpower my young children. See, young children do not possess the same strength and the same stability. And we live in a time, in a day, where there's a sea of religious and social claims. And like new gusts of wind, every new generation and every new movement introduces a new wave of teaching. And Paul describes these teachings in verse 14 as human in their origin and deceitful in their design. Now, they're deceitful in the sense that we can't just immediately or always immediately look at them and know that they're deceitful. They trick some people. They don't show up as a red being with horns coming out of its head. It usually looks like something attractive initially. And the immature in faith are like small children. And they're like small children on a rudderless small boat. And they're unable to steer in the right direction. And wherever they go, they're at the mercy of these winds and at the mercy of these waves. Spiritually speaking, they are susceptible to drifting away from Christ. In contrast to that, Paul reminds us that we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. The mature adult of verse 13, what we read, to grow up into mature manhood, mature adult, is a unified church that is anchored in its knowledge of the Son of God. And so how as a church, how can we grow? Well, verse 15 instructs us and inspires us. So first, I want you to know this, that Paul challenges us to grow. Paul challenges us to keep growing. He says we are to grow up into Him in every way. You see, growth and maturity are the natural outcome of a healthy church. I used to say to my youngest child, when she was smaller, I used to tell her, please, please stop growing. I love you this way. Please stop growing. And she would look at me and say, Daddy, I can't. And I had to stop saying it to her because I think I was making her feel guilty over time about growing up. But you see, she was in an environment, she had a situation where she was nourished both physically and emotionally. And the result of that is healthy growth. And so growth and maturity are the natural outcome of a church that is healthy. And we must continually pursue growth by pursuing spiritual health. You see, beloved, we have not reached the white shores yet. We have not reached the far green country yet. We are still on a journey. We are still at sea. We are still moving in the direction of glory. But we're not there yet. And Paul is telling us, keep growing. We are to grow. Now notice this church growth is to be comprehensive. He says we are to grow up in every way. In every way. In every good possible way you can think of, that's how we are to grow. But to give some meat to this, I believe that we can at least see in the immediate context that every way refers to some of the things in verse 13, which it's talking about the unity of our faith, We're to grow in every way in the knowledge of the Son of God. And then in verse 15, we are to grow in our ability to speak truth in love. And then you look at the end of verse 16, where it says the body builds itself up in love. He wants us to grow in every way that helps us love. You see, church growth is ultimately measured by these graces. And beloved, this is not aimless growth. The aim is nothing less than the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's what verse 13 says. Christian maturity is measured by the fullness of Jesus Christ. F.F. Bruce, commenting on this verse, states that the glorified Christ provides the standard at which his people are to aim. The corporate Christ, meaning the church, cannot be content to fall short of the perfection of the person of Christ. See, Jesus Christ is the goal of our growth, and the aim is to image the person of Jesus Christ fully. And until you're able to do that, we are to continually pursue growth. Perfection, ultimately, we know awaits glory, but we're to strive towards that future blessing now, and we're to strive towards it continually. And he challenges us towards progress on the path to glory. So in every way, I believe means growing in these graces, but I think it also means that every part of the body is to grow. In every way, in every one of these graces, in every part of the body. In every part of the body is to grow into Christ, into him who is the head, into Christ. See here, Paul describes Jesus Christ as the head of the body, which fits well with this imagery that he's using. But Jesus Christ is the head of the body in the sense that he rules and he governs his people. He is the ruler, and he is the governor, if you will. And the body, as it grows, is to match the head. You know, a young child's bodily development doesn't always match in step with their brain's development. You know, just take a toddler feeding herself applesauce with a spoon, and that's really a sight to behold. Because that applesauce will make it everywhere on the face, actually everywhere on the body, really, except the mouth. They have the goal, they understand, they want that sauce in this mouth. But it's challenging for them. See, maturity enables the body to follow the head. And Christian maturity, church maturity, is when it is governed by Christ and its doctrines. It's following the government of its head. It's following the directions, the goals, and the desires of the head. And so the church and every requisite part is to grow up into Christ Jesus, grow up into submitting to Christ, submitting to his truth, and glorifying him by their life. So church, we are to grow perpetually. There is more fullness of Christ to be had. There is more to know of him. There's more to reflect about him. You know, this is true for you personally, and this is true for us as a church. Notice he uses the first person plural pronoun, where he says, we are to grow. And I believe the Apostle Paul is including himself in that. No matter how long you have walked with Christ, no matter how long you have been with this church, you have not arrived. Beloved, have you grown weary in doing good? Have your hands begun to droop? Have your knees begun to weaken from the race? Have you grown faint-hearted because of sin or discouragement or even opposition? Or have you sat down for a little while for rest and then kind of forgotten to get up? Beloved, let me encourage you tonight to see Christ, to see him in his perfection, to behold him and to savor him, and then seek from him the energy you need to continue to grow. That's what you need. You need to behold the glory of Christ, to see the fullness of the stature of Jesus Christ, and then seek him to be full of his stature, to seek him for energy. And when you do that, I think what we'll find is that this new energy is channeled through one another. So how? The question now is, how can we grow in the fullness of Christ? And the beginning of our verse explains that. Look at verse 15. Speaking the truth in love. That is the means that we are to grow up into Christ. Speaking the truth in love. Truth, in general, means that which is real, that which is firm, and because it's true and because it's real, it's that which is binding upon people. But here, the truth that Paul means is a specific truth. It's the truth of Christ and his gospel. Look at chapter 1. Flip over to chapter 1 and look at verse 13. Verse 13 of chapter 1 reads, "In him, in Christ, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him," and then it goes on. I want you to notice from this verse, it's that the word of truth connects you to Jesus Christ. Can you see here in this verse the intimate connection between the gospel doctrine and the person of Christ? Look again. When you heard what? The word of truth, the gospel. And that gospel is one of your salvation. And you believed in what? In who? In him. There's this intimate connection between the doctrine of the gospel and the person of Jesus Christ. So that when you believe the gospel, when you speak the gospel, you are believing in a person and you're speaking Christ. See, beloved, doctrine, gospel doctrine, is inherently personal. It's personal in the sense that it's a revelation of the person of God. It's personal in the sense that it is the means by which you are connected with Christ in a personal relationship. And it's personal in the sense that it changes you as a person after his likeness. So when it says speak the truth, to speak the truth is to speak Christ. And Christ is spoken when his word is spoken, when his gospel is spoken. And if you're here tonight and you don't consider yourself a Christian, I want you to notice that it says, speak the truth. That article, the truth, is very important. Today it's very popular to say that is a truth, or this is my truth. Or that's your truth. Humans tend to think that we can create our own truth. We want to create our own reality. But have you ever noticed that when you try to live in that truth and in that reality, that it brings quite a bit of pain? It actually brings quite a bit of separation in your relationships? You know, what do you believe is true? And why do you believe that? But I want you to know that the Bible tells us that we do not create our own realities. God is the creator of reality, and God is the originator of truth. And it's actually sin, and in sin, we rejected the truth of God in an attempt to be the God of our own reality. But the only thing that actually becomes real to us when we do that is pain. It's suffering, and it's death. Those are the things that become real to us. But God has revealed himself and his truth in the person of Christ. And Christ is revealed to you when the gospel, when the message of the Bible is spoken to you. And this gospel is that we can have redemption from death through the sacrificial death of Jesus. His death brought redemption. It brought the forgiveness of our rebellion, the forgiveness of our sins. It enables you to know the truth, and that truth, that Christ, sets you free. It sets you free from the bondage of your truth. And so step into reality tonight. Come to know truth by believing in Jesus Christ. Well, notice also, it's not just the truth is spoken in love. This means that truth embodies love, and love embodies truth. In God is the most perfect union of love and truth. God is continually revealing himself as one who is abundant in steadfast love and faithfulness. In truthfulness, God does what he says, and what he says is true. And Jesus Christ himself came full of grace and truth. You see, it is impossible to speak Christ without truth and love coming together. You know, there's almost something deceitful. There is something deceitful when we say truth in derogatory ways. There's also something deceitful when we try to love without truthful speech. It looks like love, but it isn't. See, a life of love embodies the truth of the gospel, and a life of truth embodies the love of the gospel. These things are not in tension in the Bible. See, truth is spoken in love when the content and the character of our speech manifest the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ. In other words, our speech portrays the commitment to Christ's truth, a commitment to Christ's character, and it displays Christ's commitment to other people's good. And in verse 16, we see that the body builds itself in love. And if love is the measure of growth, then truth must also be spoken in love for love to grow. Do you see that connection? It's very simple, but it's powerful. Love grows when truth is spoken in love. And also notice really quickly and quite obviously, that the truth must be spoken. The truth has to be verbalized. What food is for the physical body, and it, the way that food for the physical body requires eating, truth for the spiritual body requires speaking. So, beloved, I'd ask you tonight, what do you guys talk to each other about the most? Are your conversations, in general, are they in line with the highest goal of the fullness of Christ? Speaking the truth in love is the means by which we are to help others grow. And this is the ministry of every single member. Every single member, and I'll make that point later. So my application, beloved, to you is to speak. It's quite simple. It's to speak to one another. And that's going to look different for different people. If you consider yourself less mature in the faith, Let me just give you one piece of advice. It sounds self-serving, but I promise it's not. It's as hard as it may be or as easy it may be, really listen to these sermons. I mean, I'm serious. If you consider yourself less mature in the faith, take good notes in these sermons. God has designed that your pastors would speak truth to you, hopefully in love, and that you would learn from that truth. This is one of the best ways you can be trained for maturity in the faith. You can grow a lot from meditating on the messages that your shepherds have prepared for you. And honestly, better than messages that you can listen to online that are not prepared for you in general. But also, what you could do is you could find someone that you consider more mature and ask if you can speak the truth to one another in love. And if you are more mature, which, by the way, there's quite a few of you in this church, you're learned, you've learned Christ, you've learned so much, you've been a part of this church for a long time, I want you to realize that now the church needs you to speak Christ. This church is a church, it is a blessing, where we tilt towards the age demographic of 55 and older. And honestly, it's quite shocking to look at the statistics of the membership of our church, how many of us have been here longer than 10 years. It's amazing, amazingly wonderful. Beloved, so many of you have been taught so well for so long. So if I could speak to those who are older in age, the younger generation, and younger I mean anywhere from their age, young age, to 20s, 30s, 40s, the younger needs you to come to them and speak the truth to them in love, to come and aid their maturity. Because when you do that, it's not just you that grows or they that grow, our whole church grows together. And there's so many wonderful examples of that. Mike Fairchild, I know, leads a group where they study books together. Judy Williams recently just spoke to our youth and was talking to them about how Christ, just how many needs there are in the body. There's a lot of good examples for that. And it'll look different for different people. For some of you, it really will look like just starting a Bible study, leading a group, meeting with someone one-on-one. Some of you might not feel as comfortable in doing that, and that's okay. But I would say the easiest way to obey this text is to simply take the words that are spoken on Sunday morning and Sunday evening and then make your discussions a reflection of the sermon. It's a really simple way. And if that's awkward for you and awkward for the people receiving that, I mean, it can be awkward if that's all you're doing. You speaking the truth in love, brother, you know, just out of nowhere. But if it is terribly awkward for that to happen in a good manner, there's something concerning about that. And maybe it's a muscle that we need to start working out. All I'm trying to say, beloved, is that we cannot grow, we cannot continue to grow as a healthy church if you do not speak. All right. So number one, by speaking the truth in love, and shorter, number two, every member doing its part. We need to do some bodybuilding. Look at verse 16. We grow into Christ, and then verse 16, from whom the whole body joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Now, verse 15 began with the means of growth, and verse 16 begins with the source of growth. It says, from whom? And that phrase refers back to Christ, into whom we're supposed to grow. As the head of the body, Jesus Christ is the ultimate source of all growth. The head energizes and supplies the body with everything the body needs. Now, how does the body grow? Or what does he supply us with? Well, number one, look, he supplies the body with joints. Notice it says, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped. You know, joints join. Our joints connect our bones together. They link our skeletal structure together as a whole. But joints also hold together. They allow your bones to move against one another and to cause the movement of the body. They turn your skeletal system into a functioning whole, enables you to move. And these bones and joints keep bones from grinding against each other when the body is trying to move. So it enables the body to function. Now, who are these joints? There's various interpretations to this, and I'll be brief here. I think the joints actually refer to the supply of leaders in the church that's mentioned in verse 11. And the reason why I say that is because I think verse 16 almost functions like a summary conclusion of this section of his letter. Verse 7 began with what Christ gives to all. He gives gifts to his church. He gives gifts to his whole body. But then in verse 11, he narrows down his description to the leaders and the gifts of leaders. And then in verses 12b through 15, Paul widens his scope to talk about the ministry of all believers. And I think verse 16 is sort of a reflection of that little mini structure. So Paul begins with Christ, the source, from him. He narrows in again to focus on leaders, and then he ends the verse by broadening again to talk about every individual part. Whether it's the leaders or it's just another way of saying every individual part, it reaches the same conclusion. But if it's the pastors, I want to say that pastors support the unity of the body by teaching gospel doctrines. I was actually hesitant to say this, not because that was a difficult explanation and maybe hard to understand, but because I was afraid every time you have joint pain, you would think of us pastors. And I didn't want that. And I didn't want that, you know, you leaving here with that. But that could be the experience if you had bad pastors. And it's one reason why it's so important to nominate and encourage qualified men. Because it's the teaching that they give you that joins the body and enables the body to function. So when does the body grow? We'll look at the next part of the verse. When each part is working properly. You see, joints, if they are leaders, they're really only helpful if the body is trying to move. For the body to move, the parts must move. So what does this mean? I think every part here means every member. I think it's talking about what he says in verse 12, that the saints, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. It's when the saints are engaged in the work of ministry. It's when the saints are hearing the doctrines of Christ taught by the leaders, and then each part, each member of the church engages in the work of ministry designed for them. Now, the work of ministry of the saints is far broader than this, but in its most immediate context, the work of ministry, I think, is what we just spoke about. It's speaking the truth to one another in love. If I could stay with the body image, it's as if, like, every member becomes a blood vessel that takes the nutrients from the mouth and it's delivering it to all different parts of the body to help it. See, the whole body is involved in the building process. And each member is a part of the body. And the body is dependent on each part. And that means each individual contributes to the growth of the church. And if that's true, that means that each person is necessary for what Christ is accomplishing here. Now, why does he supply the body with parts and joints? Well, he says it at the end of our verse. He makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Christ made it so it's almost as if the body seems to grow itself. You know, for your physical bodies, that exercise and diet are really the best things you can do for your body, for your health. The bones, the muscles, your tendons, they all work together. And the body either becomes stronger together or weaker together. You know, when you stop working out, if you've been working out for a while and you stop working out, it's not like you just lose muscle in your biceps. Like your whole body tends to degenerate together. And then when you work out, usually your whole body tends to get stronger together. The point is that Christ has designed the body to grow when each part is working properly and each part is working out. And what this means is that you can only grow so much by yourself. Do you understand that? You can't just take your Bible and say, I'm going to grow to the fullness of the stature of Christ. Impossible without the church. And that's why I would encourage those of you who are on the fringe in membership, who are maybe less relationally involved, with no meaningful friendships, no meaningful discipling relationships, to get more involved. Or those of you who are involved to notice those people and be like a blood vessel. Bring them closer in. Well, the body doesn't just build itself in any way. It says it builds itself up in love. We speak the truth in love so we can be built up in love. And love is the defining mark that we are Christ's disciples. And love is the sum of every other virtue. See, love displays God's character and it displays his divine nature. It shows the power of his love to change us from selfish sinners who steal, who do the things later in chapter 4. We steal, we lie, we're angry. We tear down with our words. We're hard-hearted people. But it shows the power of his love to change selfish sinners into people who lay down their lives for one another. Love is the true measure of growth. And the best impact of truth on the body is the increase of love. So, beloved, how is your love? Yeah, I was thinking, and it's actually been said to me a number of times, but I've thought this, about how the pastors really need to step up after the retirement of a giant from the pulpit. And that's true. But you know what I've been thinking lately? So do the members. It's wrong for a congregation to become passive and expect pastors to do all the work of the ministry. That is not Christ's design. They have an important function. They are the main source of teaching of the gospel, but not the only. And the task of the pastors is to equip you to help others grow. And some of you might actually be a little bit surprised because you'll come to me and don't stop coming to me, but you'll come to me and say, I'm concerned about so-and-so because this. And I will respond with, well, that's great. Well, no, that is concerning. What have your conversations with them been like? What do you mean you haven't talked to them? You need a paradigm shift. You need to go talk to that person. Definitely don't stop doing this. But hey, did you see look it over there. They're visitors. Oh, that's great. What do you know about them? I haven't met him. Why are you telling me about him? Go talk to him. Beloved, that's the type of stuff that I want you to be equipped to help the body grow, because Christ grows the church by commissioning every member to contribute. Let's pray. Jesus Christ, we thank you for your power and your goodness, that you have given us the gospel and you have loved us. And I pray that you would give us the energy and supply us with everything that we need, that we could speak the truth in love, and that this body would build itself up in love, all by your power and all for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.